Aren't you thankful that we have a Savior who lights our way every day? Well, I told you the first Sunday of the month in February that I had felt led to look at the word behold. The word behold means to stop, look and listen and pay attention, because that which is to follow is of great importance. And in particular, there are basically four of those that I chose to look at in the Gospel according to John in the New Testament. And the first Sunday in February, I focused in on John the Baptist. When he saw Jesus coming to him in the wilderness, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world," in John 1:29. Last Sunday, being Valentine weekend, we focused in on the love of God, and we saw the love of Christ and the love of God the Father for Christ and their love for you and me as His children. And there were two important examples that we saw. Lazarus, of whom Jesus, it was said of Jesus, "Behold how He loved him." And in another occasion in Mark chapter 10, when you look at the rich young ruler who came to Jesus asking, "Good Master, what good thing may I do that I may inherit eternal life?" But Jesus told him that he had a stumbling block in his way that he needed to remove, and that stumbling block was his love for riches and material goods. He told the rich young ruler, "Go your way, sell all that you have, and you will have treasure in heaven." And I believe that's the kingdom of heaven. But it says that when he saw him, that he loved him. And so I believe that he was a child of God because Jesus loved him. Now today, I want to look today and next week, the Lord willing, at the account of Jesus when he was standing trial before Pontius Pilate in Pilate's judgment hall right before he was crucified on the cross of Calvary. In the Gospel of John, chapter 19, we see the scene unfolding in John chapter 18 and 19, where that when Jesus had gone to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray with his disciples that night before he was betrayed, you remember that he prayed in the garden, "Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done." And so we found that Judas Iscariot had been given charge of a band of Roman soldiers to come out and arrest Jesus that night. And Judas knew where he was, being one of the 12 disciples. And so a band of Roman soldiers was several hundred men armed with weapons, and they were coming to Jesus. And when they asked, "Whom do you seek?" They said to him, "Jesus of Nazareth." He said, "I am he." And the power of his voice was so mighty that when he said those words, that those Roman soldiers fell backward to the ground. You find that in John 18, verses 5 and 6. But you find that they led him to the high priest, to Caiaphas, and to the Jewish leaders, the Jewish elders. And then the Jewish elders delivered him to Pontius Pilate, because their intention was they wanted Jesus put to death for the charge of blasphemy, because that he claimed to be God. Now, we know that he is God, he was God, and he is God, but they wanted the Romans to put him to death because the Romans would not allow the Jews to do it on their own. And so as you see in John chapter 19, let's read the first five verses. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto him, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. Now Pilate said that three times in chapters 18 and 19. Three times he told him, I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. Now there's the subject of my heart today. Behold the man. Let us pray. Kind, loving, and merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you now for the privilege of worshiping thy great and holy name. Father, now I pray that your Holy Spirit may attend unto the words of thy servant, that you might grant to me wisdom and liberty to preach thy word with soundness, with boldness, and with liberty, that it would honor and glorify you, that it would edify us, thy waiting people, and that it would admonish us to go out and live the Christian walk of life in a greater way this coming week. So, Father, now we pray, Lord, that you may help us to behold the man, Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. We know that Jesus became a man when he was conceived in the Virgin Mary's womb of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, he was indeed both 100% God and 100% man. So we find in the Scripture that he was indeed a man. But he was not any ordinary man. He was a just man. He was a righteous man, a perfect man. He was holy, harmless, and sinless, undefiled, I'm going to look at that in a moment, and separate from sinners. And so we find here, when the fullness of time had now come, that Jesus, according to the will of God, that God purposed before the foundation of the world, this moment was coming to pass that had been purposed from ages past, that the Son of Man would be crucified and slain. But we see, as he comes before Pontius Pilate, if you go back there, it says in verse 28 of John chapter 18, Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas to the hall of judgment, and it was early. But those Jews themselves, they went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Those Jews were very steeped in ceremonial tradition, and they did not want their hands defiled by entering into the pagan ruler's courtroom. And so they stood without with their accusations. And Pilate then, in John 18:29, went out to them, to the Jews, and said, What accusation bring you against this man? What do you have against him? And they answered and said to him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up to you. And so they almost ridiculed Pilate by saying, Don't you know, we wouldn't have delivered him to you if he were not a criminal. And then Pilate said to them, Take you him and judge him according to your law. See, Pilate did not want to have anything to do with this matter. Now, if you read in Matthew chapter 27, it says there that Pilate knew that for envy, the Jews had delivered Jesus to him. He knew that the Jews were envious of all of the attention and following that Jesus had. He knew that they perceived Jesus as a threat to their power and to their position. And so he wanted the Jews to see to this matter themselves. But the Jews said to Pilate, "It's not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled that he had spoken, signifying what death he should die." See, Jesus told his disciples repeatedly in his 3.5-year ministry that he was going to go to Jerusalem, that he was going to be delivered up, and that he would be crucified, and on the third day he would rise again from the dead. But we find that Pilate entered into his judgment hall again, and he said to Jesus, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" No doubt Pilate had heard the Jews, the followers of Christ, even calling Jesus the King. And we also know that the law of Moses does tell us in Leviticus chapter 24 and verse 16. In Moses' law, it does tell us that if any mortal man claimed to be God or to take unto himself the glory that only belongs to God alone, then that man is worthy to be put to death. If Jesus were any other mere mortal man claiming to be God, then yes, he would have been worthy to have been put to death under the law that God gave to Moses. But he was not guilty of blasphemy, as the Jews so claimed, because he was God and he is God. He is the King, not only of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. He's the King of all of mankind. And so Jesus said to Pilate, "Sayest thou this of yourself, or did others tell it thee of me?" Well, he knew that he had heard it of others. But then Pilate answered him, saying, "Am I a Jew?" Of course he wasn't a Jew. He was a Gentile pagan ruler that had been set up by the Roman emperor as the governor of Judea. "Thine own nation and the chief priest have delivered thee to me. What have you done? What have you done wrong?" And so he answered Pilate. He told Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." Now, he didn't deny that he was the King of the Jews, but he told Pilate that his kingdom was not of this world. His kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. "If it were an earthly kingdom," he said, "then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence," not from this world. You remember in the Garden of Gethsemane that Peter had drawn his sword and he had cut off the servant of the high priest's ear. Now, I don't believe he was aiming for his ear. He was aiming to kill the servant. But what did Jesus tell Peter? "Put up your sword into the sheath thereof, for we..." Essentially, he told Peter, "My kingdom is not of this world. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, as Paul said, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And so Jesus told Pilate, "Mine is not an earthly kingdom. Mine is a spiritual kingdom." So Pilate said to him, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus kept answering, "You say that I'm a king." He always turned it around on him. He didn't really affirm nor deny it either way. You say that I am. But then he did affirm this. To this end, for this purpose was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. Now, Jesus himself is about to tell us the purpose for which he became a man, that I should bear witness unto the truth. And everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. That I should bear witness to the truth. And then Pilate asked him that famous question, what is truth? He didn't understand what the truth is. What is truth? That is a great question to ponder. Well, we know that God is true. You know, Jesus said in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except by me. Jesus himself is the embodiment of truth. All truth comes from God, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And the Word of God that was inspired in God's Word, the Bible, it is truth. It is the Word of truth. And Jesus came to bear witness to the truth. He came to bear witness of God the Father. He came to bear witness of the truth of God's Word. He came to bear witness of the truth that He shared in His own ministry those 3.5 years. And everyone who is of the truth heareth my voice. Now who is that? That's you and me, God's children, God's elect family. Those that have an ear to hear. Those that have been born again by the Spirit of God, we have truth living in us. Jesus living in us. Christ in us. The hope of glory. So that we can hear, believe, understand, and rejoice in the truth. So that God's child hears His voice. You remember in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, that Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I give my life for them. My sheep hear my voice. And then it says in verse 38 that when he had said this, that Pilate went out to the Jews and said to the Jews, I find in him no fault at all. And he said that again in our text in chapter 19, verse 4. I find no fault in him. And he said the very same thing again later on in chapter 19, that I find no fault in him. Now, why was it so important that Pilate, who was a pagan king, who really did not understand who Jesus was, say publicly that he found no fault in this man? Well, it was absolutely necessary that it be made publicly known that Jesus was indeed perfect, harmless, holy, sinless, and undefiled. You might remember in the book of Exodus, chapter 12, on the night that God delivered Israel out of Egyptian bondage, and He instituted the Passover Supper, that He said in Exodus chapter 12 and beginning in verse 3, He says, speak to the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this first month shall you take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the house be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take according to the number of the souls. Every man, according to the eating, shall make your count for the lamb. And he said in verse 5, your lamb shall be number one without blemish. And another place it says, without spot. Without blemish or without spot. That means that it must be perfect. No fault could be found in the lamb. He also must be a male of the first year. Couldn't be a female. Had to be a male. You shall take it from the sheep or from the goat. So notice, their lamb had to be without blemish when without spot. God would not accept an imperfect lamb for an offering. That lamb or goat had to be found without blemish. And so it was with the Son of God who became a man. In his earthly ministry, he was found to be without blemish and without spot. And before Pilate, even, before a pagan king, he was found to be without blemish or without spot. And so we find that was absolutely necessary. Otherwise, his sacrifice for our sin, would have been in vain. If he had had a sin in him, then his death would have been no more effective than the death of any other mortal man. And so Pilate told the Jews, I find no fault in him. You might even remember in Matthew's account, in Matthew chapter 27, that Pilate's wife, his wife told him, don't have anything to do with this just man. It had been revealed to his wife in a dream that Jesus was a just man, a righteous man. And she had suffered many things in a dream because of him that night. And so we find that Pilate brought Jesus again before the Jews after they had scourged him. Now some men even died from the Roman scourging before they even got to the cross. So Jesus was already shedding his blood for you and for me. And then they were mocking him by placing the crown of thorns upon his head and beating it down upon his brow with much pain and blood being shed, putting on him the purple robe, saying, Hail, King of the Jews, and smiting him with their hands, mocking him because they didn't believe that he was their king. But don't you remember just a week earlier, the Jews were saying, Behold our king on what we call Palm Sunday, when he came into Jerusalem riding on the donkey. They thought that he would deliver them from the Roman government. But he told Pilate, My kingdom is not of this world. And he said, I find no fault in him. So Pilate brought him out to them again and he said, Behold the man. I believe Pilate, in that moment, he was trying to solicit sympathy or pity from the Jewish crowd to spare Jesus from the crucifixion. And he even brought out the other custom the Jews had, that on the Passover feast, it was a custom of the Jews that the Romans could release one of the prisoners to them. And he gave them a choice, Barabbas or Jesus. And Pilate felt sure, I think, that they would choose to release Jesus, but not to release Barabbas. But that was not to be. It was not God's will for it to be that way. And so they cried for Barabbas to be released and for Jesus to be crucified. Behold the man. As we think about it, look in Philippians just for a moment, chapter 2 and verse 5. And it says this, and Paul said in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, he was God himself, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, he was God. But what did he do? He made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He became a man. Behold the man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. As God, he couldn't die. He had to become a man in order that he might die for your sins and my sins. And so we find that had to be the case. Now look over in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 26. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 26. I've alluded to it earlier. Here the writer of Hebrews is teaching us Jesus is our high priest. And he has an unchangeable priesthood. The comparison between the line of the priest of Levi and the priesthood of Christ. Hebrews 7, he said, beginning in verse 23, and those Aaron, the priest of Aaron, the tribe of Levi, truly were many priests because they were not suffered, they were not permitted to continue by reason of death. They died. But this man, behold the man, this man, because he continues forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he, the man Christ Jesus, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. We come unto God by the effectual drawing power of the Holy Spirit. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Those five attributes of Christ as a man. Number one, he was and is holy. Even in the Old Testament, Jesus is referred to as the Holy One. For example, in the book of the prophet Isaiah, many times, especially in Isaiah, God is referred to as the Holy One. Most often referring to God the Father, but also referring to God the Son. For example, he says in Isaiah 43 and verse 3, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Jesus is our Savior. So Jesus is the Holy One. And if you look in verse 14 in Isaiah 43, he says, thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Jesus is our Savior, and Jesus is our Redeemer. So Jesus is that Holy One. And remember what the angel told Mary in Luke's Gospel chapter 1. Said, that holy thing that shall be conceived in thy womb shall be called the Son of God. That holy thing. Jesus was and is holy. That is, that he is apart from his own creation. Second, he was harmless. He was harmless. There was no fault found in him, as Pilate said. I find no fault in him. He was harmless. He was not violent. He was not harmful to others. He was harmless. And Paul in Philippians chapter 2 calls on you and me to be harmless as well. Notice this in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15. Philippians 2:15, Paul said this, that we might be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom we shine as lights in the world. Blameless and harmless. Not without sin on our part, but in Christ we are blameless and harmless. And then third, Hebrews 7 said that Jesus was undefiled. He never partook in any sinful action. He was undefiled. The psalmist says in Psalms 119 and verse 1 that the Lord pronounces a blessing on His children that walk undefiled. Psalm 119:1, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Now there, of course, we in Christ are undefiled. But we are to live a life that strives to do that which is right, to be undefiled. And then it says that he was separate from sinners. Don't you remember the accusations against Jesus in the earth? The Jews would often say, behold how he goes in and eats with sinners, publicans and sinners. And he said he didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He ministered unto sinners, but yet he was not a partaker in sinful men's actions. And the same is to be true of us today. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17, these words, 2 Corinthians 6, 17, wherefore we are to come out from among them, from among the world, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Then God says, I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That means in a manifest sense that He will manifestly be declared to us and before men to be our Father, receiving us when we are coming out from among the world, being separate from the world's sin. Living in the world, but not of the world. And finally, Hebrews 7:26 said that Jesus was made higher than the heavens. Why? He made the heavens. He is indeed higher than the heavens. The psalmist tells us in Psalms 89, and verse 27, Psalm 89:27. Also, I will make him, prophecy of Jesus, I will make him my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth. Higher than the heavens and higher than the kings of the earth. And so Jesus, as He stood before Pilate, He was higher than the heavens. He was higher than Pilate. You know, Pilate said to Jesus, don't you know, Jesus, I have power to release you. I have power to crucify you? But Jesus told Pilate, you would have no power were it not given to you, essentially, by my Father in heaven. And so he told him that those that delivered me to you, the Jews and Judas that betrayed me, had the greater sin. But we find that we today have the blessed privilege of appealing to the one who is the rock, who is higher than we are. I want to close this morning in Psalms chapter 61, beginning in verse number 1. He was higher than the heavens, higher than the kings of the earth. Psalmist David says in Psalm 61, here's our application, as we behold the man. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. We must go to the one who is higher than we are, who is higher than the heavens, who has been made higher than the kings of the earth. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Jesus is our strong tower from our enemy, the devil. He says, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever, and I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. My prayer today is that we would trust in the covert of his wings. Now that's an allusion or an analogy of describing the Lord like an eagle covering their eaglets with their wings from harm's way, protecting them. He protects us with his wings. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Behold the man, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, is my prayer for Christ's sake.